Welcome to the Nintendo Fusion Podcast, a podcast that fuses past, present, and future Nintendo thought. I'm David, accompanied by my friend Jordan. Now, Jordan, what room is Mario too big to fit inside of?
Oh, no. Something with a mushroom inside, right?
Yeah.
I'm getting worse at these now.
It is just a mushroom. He can't fit inside a mushroom.
Oh, no. Yeah. Okay.
All right. I'll give you one more. How do Koopas communicate?
I don't know.
They use a shell phone.
Oh, no.
That one wasn't as good. Anyway, welcome to episode 43 of the podcast. Today we're going to be talking about our review of the Super Mario Brothers movie, as evidenced by our super hilarious and funny Mario jokes. Now, before we dig in, we are recording this the night that the Zelda Tears of the Kingdom trailer came out, and don't you worry, we will be talking about that trailer in depth in our next episode. We wanted to spend some time to gather our thoughts and really prepare a massive final episode before the game actually launches so that we have something good to go back on when we do our review episode after the game comes out. Does that sound all right, Jordan?
Yeah.
Okay. We are very excited about Zelda. Don't get us wrong. We also have to get the Mario movie episode out because we did see it earlier this week.
Yeah, leave it to Nintendo to just drop Zelda on us the day after we watch the Mario movie.
Like, literally. Seriously, we went and saw the Mario movie Tuesday night. And then, yesterday they were like, oh, yeah, new trailer tomorrow. So, but we're not here to talk about Zelda. We're here to talk about the Mario movie, or I guess as it's officially titled, the Super Mario Brothers movie. So going into the movie, Jordan, before you saw it, what were your expectations like? I recall having a conversation with you that maybe you weren't super looking forward to it, right?
Yeah. So we went and got dinner right before we just saw the movie, and I was going on about how I expected to side with the critics, because there's a bit of a controversy on the internet right now where the critics did not really care for the movie, and a lot of Nintendo fans are like rushing to like defend the film or whatever. And from what the critics were saying and like the track record of Illumination and my general dislike for Illumination, I was kind of expecting to be on the side of the critics, that it was just going to be a very vapid experience for just some popcorn and like you'll forget about it the night after.
Yeah, when we went to see it by Tuesday, the critic score was like 54% or something like that on Rotten Tomatoes, and the audience score was like 96. So there was a big disconnect there, I guess. You know, the reviews were all very much, like you said, a kind of popcorn fest. But one that I thought was really funny was someone had mentioned that it seemed like the movie was literally designed for all of those YouTube channels that say, here are 100 Easter eggs that you missed in the Super Mario Brothers movie.
Oh, yeah. And they could get 100 Easter eggs in that video.
Yeah, easily. There were quite a few pieces, but I was also with you when it came to, you know, how I was feeling going into the movie. I was kind of excited. I thought it would be a fun time, but I wasn't expecting anything groundbreaking or absolutely incredible, you know, and I too felt like I would probably side more with the critics than I would with the fans. But hey, we saw the movie and I kind of agree with the fans, but I also totally understand where the critics are coming from.
Yeah, it's a weird situation where I agree with both sides now.
Yeah.
Because, like, the story is paper thin. It is a vapid experience, like I said it was going to be going in. It is Illumination, after all. But it was still entertaining and still just kind of, like, did the Mario thing, right? Like, it is the best representation of a Mario film I feel like we could get out of Hollywood. Not that there couldn't be a better Hollywood, like, or a better movie potentially made, but from the Hollywood engine, I think this is pretty much as good as it's going to get.
To be fair, I agree, especially if you consider that their audience is literally all ages. You know, they weren't just aiming this at the children that enjoy Mario. They weren't aiming this at the long-term 30-plus-year-old fans that know every piece of Mario lore. And they weren't aiming at, like, grandparents, you know, that were going to see the movie with their kids. It literally was designed to include everyone. And I think it really succeeded at that. I think there was something that was fun for everyone. Though, in order to understand a lot of the Easter eggs, plot, and music, you do need to have some knowledge of Mario, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I don't know if it is for everyone. I think it's for everyone who has played a Mario game, because it explains basically nothing. So, like, people who played Mario game, that's a very wide range of people across many different ages. Mario's been around for 40 years. Pretty much all of them will probably be fine going in. If you've never been into Nintendo at all, you have some homework to do before going to see the movie.
True. I guess if you're a parent that's taking your child or grandparent, maybe you need the kids to explain to you beforehand what Mario is all about or something like that.
Yeah, I feel like this movie actually wasn't made for everyone. It was made with a specific audience in mind, and that audience being Mario fans. And like, there's enough Mario fans out there that it's perfectly profitable, as we can see with how well it's doing.
Right. I think as of like Tuesday, it was the fourth highest grossing video game film ever so far, and had like a bigger opening weekend than I think Frozen 2 did. Though that's kind of an unfair statement, because their opening weekend for the Super Mario Brothers movie includes Wednesday night and Thursday night instead of just like Friday and Saturday and Sunday.
Well, hey, it has the biggest opening weekend technically, and technically is the best kind of correct. So
sure.
There is an asterisk though next to its achievement.
True. But I mean, congratulations. The movie was a lot of fun, and I'm really glad that, you know, we got to go see it. I was very pleasantly surprised. But kind of moving on in our topics, I kind of wanted to talk a little bit about the visuals. That's like a very easy thing to fixate on. We actually saw it in IMAX, so we got the gigantic screen, though I think our projector was slightly out of focus.
Yeah, it looked like it had some artifacts and stuff on it. It wasn't the movie's fault. I feel like that IMAX theater is just really old.
Yeah.
They just haven't updated it in a while. And considering we only paid $5 to get in.
Yeah, it's all right. It's all right.
You can't really complain too much, I guess. But I don't think I'll be going to that particular IMAX again anytime soon.
I definitely won't be either. If I got past the like somewhat blurry nature or lower quality footage from that particular theater, the movie was absolutely beautiful, incredibly colorful, like from tip to toe. It really did feel like we were looking into a Mario world. You know, Mario has always had really bright, interesting colors, except, of course, like the darker levels and water type levels. But it still was just, it was honestly really stunning, and I'm really impressed with how the movie looked. It looked way better than an Illumination film has.
Way, way better than anything else Illumination has done. The lighting and all the colors, like you said. But also, just the shots just had so much more going on in them than most Illumination films. Illumination just feels pretty lazy for the most part, where they only have like the main things that really need to be focused on for like that scene. And there's not a whole lot going on behind the scenes or whatever. Whereas this one, they knew like the main character of the Mario Bros. Movie is actually the world and the set pieces. And so they definitely gave a lot to those areas that you go to. Even when you're in Brooklyn, there's just so much going on in the background and in foreground. Even like there's a part where Mario's doing a 2D side scrolling, like showing that he does parkour or whatever, because it's a Mario movie.
They needed to show that he at least had some experience jumping or something.
Right. But they had a bunch of stuff in like the foreground and stuff of like workers working in the construction site and stuff. So
yeah, and actually like reacting to the things that were going on too.
And I guess we didn't discuss before doing this podcast, what's the spoiler level of this
episode? I think at this point we can go pretty spoilery. All right.
So that's your spoiler warning.
Yeah. We talked about how beautiful it is, and now we can like delve into pretty much the entirety of the plot and what's going on, I guess.
For what there is there.
For what there is. I don't know if there are that many spoilers. Like we kind of mentioned earlier, the story is pretty bare bones. But especially as we get to Easter eggs and a little bit more of the story discussion, there will definitely be like a full open discussion on spoilers. So if you haven't seen the movie at this point, we say go watch it. But if you're not interested and just want to hear our thoughts, you can continue listening anyway.
So, yeah, honestly, I really liked the Brooklyn parts. That's kind of like the area where I guess there's the most story, kind of, which is hard to say because there's not like a lot of story there or anything, right? But right. They quickly set up that like Mario and Luigi are starting a new plumbing business. Mario just recently quit his stable job at the Wrecking Crew with Spike. And they also showed like the family dynamics with Mario and Luigi and the rest of their family. And his father's concern that Mario is probably bringing Luigi down the wrong path along with him and all that stuff, which was fairly decent character motivations, I feel.
Yeah. And especially since they're like an Italian American family, I feel like that, at least from what I've seen in television, I am not Italian American, so feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, but in at least a lot of the media I've seen with Italian Americans, that really does seem to be a driving factor. The family is really close together and they are very worried about each other and want to help and support, but there could be that level of disappointment. It's like, you had a stable job, why are you throwing it away? And I think that that was a good dynamic that was addressed, because I mean, that happens to most families as well, not just Mario's, I guess.
Yeah. And I wasn't really expecting much of I don't know, a backstory to Mario. The only thing it was missing was just like a reference to his part-time gig where he was a referee at the boxing rings.
Yeah, exactly.
And which is his funny. Fake medical experience.
Exactly. I mean, it's funny. The pizzeria that they go to is literally called the Punch-Out Pizzeria. And I'm like, man, they could have just had the Punch-Out ring or something be like a picture or a reference for when he was a referee for a moment, but no, it's fine. But I do agree with you. I think Brooklyn was a really pretty area, lots of interesting things going on. And it was really quite fun to see some of those characters from, you know, Wrecking Crew. And of course there's like a huge reference to Jumpman, and it was a really fun time in that area of the story as well. Plus Pauline got to show up. And it was really cool to see Pauline actually be the mayor of Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And not just, I mean, New Donk City.
Yeah, I guess. So like, is New Donk City actually supposed to be Brooklyn in the end?
Apparently. That's my guess.
I was chuckling, though, when I was reading a bunch of critic reviews where people were like, why on earth does Mario not look like the rest of the humans in like?
It's a good point.
It's like, well, that's how it is in the games. That's just how it is. The characters look a lot. Mario looks a lot closer to the rest of the humans in this movie than he does in Mario Odyssey. I'll say that.
Absolutely. Which is kind of crazy. I think that the Mushroom Kingdom was also really well executed. You know, I wasn't really a huge fan of the fact that Peach's castle was just on top of a gigantic hill, where that doesn't happen in like any of the other games. Or I guess not even like a giant hill. It was like basically a single mountain, right? So high up above the rest of Toad Town. But it was fine because it meant that they got to put in a lot of the like 2D platforming stuff from a lot of the Mario games as like interesting things, like all of the pipes everywhere. It made sense to have the pipes everywhere. And in kind of the final battle sequence, you can see it play out really well there too. Really well put together, and I thought the mushrooms even looked really cool, you know, just
yeah, all of it was very vibrant, very like we said, there's a lot going on. It didn't, most of the shots just didn't feel very lazy, which is not what you expect out of Illumination, I feel.
yeah, I agree.
Also, they didn't make the Toads minions, which is nice.
Yeah, so they were actually like interesting little characters. I mean, a lot of them were pretty mindless, but they all had purposes. You know, they were walking around, they were completing tasks, like getting money out of the bank, which was just hitting a coin block a bunch of times, which I thought was super funny. And even some of the toads spoke in like some scenes and like the council meeting and whatnot. And it was just nice to see that they weren't speaking gibberish and not all of them had a super high pitched voice.
Yeah. Like it was a kingdom of mushroom people, effectively. And,
yes, exactly.
cowardly mushroom people, except for the one that is like the main toad that follows Mario around, the adventure toad. Yep. I kind of wish he had a different name to go along with him.
They should have just straight up made him Captain Toad.
Yeah.
Like, give him the headlight, and then it would have fit with his backpack, and he could have just been, hey, I'm Captain Toad. And it'd be like, oh, okay, cool. And that's why he's out on a little adventure and why he stumbles in on to Mario, because he's out exploring the mushroom forest. But anyway, we don't have to expect the most story out of this movie.
Speaking of that toad, I think Keegan-Michael Key did the best job as far as voice acting goes. He's like the only person where you can't tell at all that.
Who
the voice actor is. Yeah.
Yeah.
I listened to the voice.
I know. It's funny. He was in an interview not too long ago. I saw a clip of it online and he was like, yeah, we were, you know, getting started with the voice. I was trying to figure out what I was doing. And the director or the voice director, he heard me do the first take. He was like, okay, that's good. Can you go any higher? And so he like did the voice higher. He's like, okay, yeah, that's not bad. How much higher can you go? And he just progressively got higher and higher until he settled in on the current toad voice, which is hilarious.
Yeah. And he does sound like a toad. So
he really does, but not in the annoying shrieky voice way like we hear in a lot of the Mario games. So it worked really well for a longer film, too. But I really liked him. I think that after Keegan-Michael Key, in terms of voice acting, the next best was Jack Black as Bowser. You could tell it was Jack Black, of course, but his performance was just like over the top. It was awesome. Just hearing how much
you could definitely tell he was having fun with it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He also wrote the Peaches song.
Oh, did he?
At least that's what I've heard.
I've heard speculation on it, but I don't know if it's real or not. They are definitely playing up that song pretty hard online.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. It says that Jack Black co-wrote it with the other guys on the film, with Eric Osmond, who did most of the music, John Spiker, and the directors of the film. So they all did it together, but I think it was mostly Jack Black.
Yeah, and it does like fit Bowser's character in a way. Like it's really dorky, embarrassing sort of song or something that you would expect Bowser to kind of do in his private time.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I think that's why it works so well, is that it's like, yeah, we'd expect something like this out of Bowser.
Yeah. Though I will say, from like a story perspective, his motivation, I think, for invading the Mushroom Kingdom is a little weird. I don't know if I really like the forced marriage stuff. Like, yeah. I'm going to ask Peach to marry me. And I'm like, okay, well, that's definitely, they did that because it's a joke and it's funny. And it's not just, I want to invade the Mushroom Kingdom because I want to kill everybody. So made it a little bit more family friendly, I guess.
So I get why they did it, because like that's pretty much Bowser's motivation in all the games. In the games, though, it's kind of just like a one line thing and then Peach is gone. And then you kind of are easily can just forget about it. Right.
Yeah.
I didn't need a whole movie around that, I feel like. And it wasn't just like the Bowser thing. It was also just all these like random comments or whatever, like DK mocking Mario's flirting with Peach, even though like I don't feel like Mario really cared at all throughout this film. It just always, there was no chemistry between them or anything. It was really forced, and they kept trying to like make it a big integral part of what was going on in the film, and it was just kind of cringy and difficult to sit through at times.
Yeah, but Jordan, when Mario saw Peach, time slowed down and he was like,
okay,
completely struck.
Yeah, and then that was like the only time throughout the entire film. Like, he truly was just going after or trying to save Luigi.
Yeah, that was his motivation for stopping Bowser. He wanted to save his brother, and that was plenty. They didn't need to try to be like, oh, are you flirting with the princess? Like, I never got the vibe from Mario that he really had a big crush on her. And I don't know if that's because I just couldn't see it or I just didn't care enough, but that's how I viewed it.
Yeah. I mean, there, like I said, there was just like no chemistry there or whatever.
Yeah. But I guess that kind of brings us to, you know, Peach's and Mario's voice acting performance, right? You know, there's a lot of controversy about Chris Pratt being chosen as Mario. And I think like the best I can say is it was fine. And I kind of stopped noticing it was him after a little while.
I think he did a lot better than I was expecting. those trailers did not do him justice.
No, they didn't.
And kind of just, I guess we just didn't get like enough of him. I feel like he was at his best in the New York area. And then like as the movie went on, he kind of got lazier and lazier with his voice acting.
No, he was just being influenced by the Mushroom Kingdom. He was losing his accent over the course of one day.
He was definitely playing up the New York accent a lot more when he was in the New York scene. So,
yeah, make it fit in. But I'm just so grateful that we did not get the Mushroom Kingdom, here we come line.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if they edited that out because everyone complaining, but first of all, it is the incorrect thing for Mario to say. It would be let's a go.
Yeah.
Here we come. And second of all, it's just
Mushroom
kind of
Kingdom,
line.
Let's a go. But it was fine. He did a good job. And I thought that Anya Taylor-Joy was a pretty good Peach. Very much kind of girl bossy, but very independent. I thought it was a really fun take on Peach.
It was fine.
Yeah.
Have you watched anything with Anya Taylor at all?
I watched several episodes of The Queen's Gambit, right? That's okay. The chess show that she was in. And she's much more serious in that show and very different.
But, yeah, I just heard Anya Taylor like throughout the whole movie.
Yeah,
it didn't seem like she was putting up any effort in like actual voice acting. She was basically just acting, which is fine. Like she's a really good actress,
right? And that's the gamble that you play with getting celebrities to voice act.
Yeah,
in these types of movies. I know that Seth Rogen, in an interview, he straight up said like, "I will do the part for Donkey Kong, but you're only getting my voice." Like he wasn't going to try at all to make a different voice for Donkey Kong. So
yeah,
that's kind of the other extreme, but he did a good job. So
well, I don't know if it was that he did a good job or just that like the writers wrote DK around.
I mean, that's a good point. That's probably the more likely option, huh?
Cause it is just Seth Green. We even got his laugh that everyone was dreading, but like they inserted it in like a spot that worked, right?
It was, yes, yes, it actually really worked.
It was a menacing. It was more menacing rather than him joking or whatever, right?
Yeah, yeah, it was, and it was fine. I will say though that the absolute weakest link in the entire film was Cranky Kong by Fred Armisen. Like,
yeah, he had the worst lines. He just did not sound like how Cranky Kong should ever sound in any depiction. Like, the directing is bad, the writing is bad, and I don't know how much is like his fault for
right.
For not working.
And he's a pretty seasoned actor and has done quite a bit of voice acting from what I understand. So like,
yeah, that's what I've been told. I don't know much about what he's done though.
I mean, the part that like really killed me where I was just like, yeah, this is not a great character moment is like at one point during Mario's fight against Donkey Kong, Mario eats a tiny shroom and gets really small. And we as the audience are like, oh, that's funny. Mario got really small. And Cranky Kong had to turn to Peach and say, looks like he ate the wrong mushroom. Like, clearly, we all know that he ate the wrong one.
Yeah,
the crowd's reaction. Yeah,
that was
exactly.
His character trait, annoying. And it's like, that's not how Cranky's has ever been in the games.
No, definitely not.
Cranky's supposed to just be like cranky and scientific and technical and just, I don't know.
We also have Charlie Day as Luigi. And I thought that he did a great job as Luigi. Luigi felt very believable to me.
Yeah.
Like I couldn't tell that it was Charlie Day most of the time. And he felt like he put in a lot of effort into coming up with a cool, fun voice for Luigi. You know, it kind of teetered that line of trying to be brave while also being still terrified, but loyal and loving. And I thought that it fit perfectly with Luigi's character.
Yeah, Luigi was done really well. I wish Luigi was in more of the film. They kind of just throw him in Bowser's castle in a cage. And even if like, because he had to be the damsel in distress this film, just having him have more scene interactions with Bowser would have been good. Like, he's,
yeah,
instead of him being like hanging above a lava pit, have him be like in a jail cell that Bowser like frequently goes by and like vents his frustration that Mario is still out on the loose or something.
Yeah, I think that would have been a better way to handle the prisoner thing. But I also think that like they could have potentially changed the story so that it was Mario and Luigi together with Peach trying to take on Bowser. But at that point, it's like, well, what becomes Mario's motivation to figure out how to defeat Bowser? And that would require complete changes of what's going on.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, there was a like theme that they were trying to go for in the movie where like together we're unstoppable or whatever. We're invincible. And then there's just like no build up to that.
Yeah, it just happens at the end.
Yeah, they just make a statement at the beginning and then they're separated and then they get back together and then they're immediately invincible. And it's like, well, like, I guess you were correct, but I don't feel like it was earned.
Yeah. But again, like we said, going into this, neither of us were expecting a phenomenal standout story. So it's fine. The movie was still really fun.
It was a vapid, entertaining experience. And it was that. It was there's not a lot of depth to it. But it was actually fun, which I typically do not enjoy Illumination films. As I've been saying these past 3 years or whatever since we've known about the movie, dreading this film, it was a lot better than I was expecting.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I had, you know, very basic hopes going into it. I basically relied on the reviewers and yeah, they were right, but I still had a lot of fun. The kid in me that loved Mario from the beginning was very, very, very pleased, especially because of the music, Jordan. Oh my gosh. What did you think of the music?
The music was phenomenal. It was really fun just hearing a lot of old, like a mixture of old Nintendo tracks, specifically Mario and some Donkey Kong tracks as well.
Yeah, well, and not just the old stuff, but they blended in even some of the more recent games. Like, there were lines parts from Bowser's Fury that were in there. Mario Odyssey made an appearance. We had some Galaxy themes. Mario Kart 8 was in the music. Like, I was having a blast listening to the music. Like, I teared up when the Mario Galaxy Gusty Garden theme started playing, especially because the arrangement was just so good. I honestly think that, well, I don't think this. In my mind, the Mario movie was basically just a disguised medley of Mario music because it was just so fun just hearing song from song to song just go on and on. I especially really loved how they threw in all of the different Boo's house themes in the part where Luigi is like wandering through the abandoned castle that feels a lot like a haunted mansion. It plays a bunch of the ghost themes or ghost house themes from the series, but then you can also hear the Luigi's Mansion main melody play really faintly in the background, and I'm like, please let that mean that Charlie Day gets to do a Luigi's Mansion movie, because I think it would work so well.
Yeah, I feel like if they do a sequel focusing on Luigi, a Luigi's Mansion would be a good standalone film.
Yeah, King Boo showed up in the movie. He was just at the wedding. It would work.
So there are Boos. They didn't have like any significant role in the film, but around. I really enjoyed the Mario specific music. I was not a huge fan of a lot of the pop music that they kept putting in.
Yeah. The fact that they threw in like Take On Me instead of playing like Jungle Hijinks or something crazy during the driving scene. I was like, come on, you could have done a Mario Kart song or anything while they were driving. And so it was just like, Take On Me. I'm like, that's probably to like churn the nostalgia of the parents that took their kids to the movie or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like you don't need to. you've already lost them. I feel like you don't need to like continue trying to bring them back in. They're
come
gone.
On back. Come on back with Take On Me. Just listen to Aha. You'll understand more of what's going on because of that song.
I don't think putting in music like Take On Me is going to like suddenly make people who brought their kids to the film and are not Mario fans to begin with suddenly enjoy the film.
Yeah, no, I think you've got a point there.
So just go all the way and just put in all Mario music the whole way through.
The whole way. But I just had such a fun time listening to the music. It was honestly like the best part of the movie for me. I've always been just a huge fan of video game soundtracks, and it was just so fun, Jordan. Like, seriously, that there were parts where I like stopped paying attention to what characters were saying and was just listening to the music. Like,
yeah, that was one of the highlights of actually going to the theater we did go, because while the picture quality was not great, the sound quality was very, very good. So it was basically a Mario concert.
I mean, you're not wrong. The sound quality was really great.
Yeah. Speaking of like references, because like with all the music references, a big part of this movie is the Easter eggs. there are tons and tons of Easter eggs. it almost felt like they were throwing everything at it, because like this is our one chance at a Nintendo movie. Throw the book, I guess. It will definitely make things feel weird if they do set up a Nintendo Cinematic Universe, considering how many properties they reference that aren't Mario.
Hey, at one point Peach says it's a big galaxy out there. I think they could potentially like play it off as, oh, all of these other references were inspired because there was some sort of connection to the actual universe that they're from or something. They could figure it out, but I do agree it would feel a little out of place.
It was interesting that some of the like bigger properties weren't there. There was no Kirby. There was no Zelda. There wasn't even any Metroid. So I guess Metroid has graduated to let's hold off class. But there was my favorite Easter eggs were the ones that were referencing other games series, specifically the non Mario franchises, just because like those were the ones I was expecting least to show up.
Yeah.
So like Kid Icarus was a lot of fun. The R-Wing, I was being a big Star Fox fan. I was very, very excited to see the R-Wing displayed in Mario's room. There was also like an F-Zero poster. there was a Duck Hunt duck restaurant. The Punch Out bar, like we said earlier.
Yeah. What Mario also had a poster that had the Ice Climbers bear in it, which was cool.
I think there was also a shop that was like referencing the Ice Climbers as well.
Yeah, I think so too.
So it was cool. They focused more on like some of the smaller properties.
And especially more like the NES and SNES era, you know?
Yeah.
At least the depictions in that era, you know, like Kid Icarus has had a more recent game, but they only really showed the NES game itself.
So I guess if we were to go off of that, maybe they didn't show Metroid, Kirby, and Zelda because those are coming up next in the first wave or something.
I could see that.
Those are the bigger ones, I guess. Well, some of the bigger ones and then Metroid.
Yeah, but it was really cool to see all of that. Some of my favorite Easter eggs were kind of in other locations. Most of them were actually like the musical Easter eggs and other sound effect Easter eggs. Luigi's phone playing the GameCube startup theme was hilarious. Oh, yeah. As his ringtone. loved that. At one point, when Toad is cooking a meal, it like plays one of the, I think cooking songs from, a Mario game, but don't quote me on that. I recognized it, but I couldn't place exactly where it was from. And a lot of other like just random little fun sound effects, but I also really loved how in the Mushroom Kingdom, there were all sorts of items and shops and things that were from some of the older games. My favorite was an item shop that had like the old Mario Bros. 3 items. So like the music box was in there in its pixelated form, as well as I believe the frog suit and a couple of other things in there. That was really fun to see. I also really, really, really liked seeing the Mario Kart 8 selection wheels for when they were building their carts. Like, that was perfect. And then the one, two that got me really giddy during the Donkey Kong portions of the film were first seeing the very clear reference to Donkey Kong riding the barrel, the rocket barrel, like he did in Donkey Kong Country Returns and Tropical Freeze. That was cool, seeing that. And then, of course, just like straight up seeing Diddy, Dixie and Chunky Kong just out in the stands is like, and they got like kind of speaking lines. Like that was sweet.
Yeah. There were a bunch of Kongs in the bleachers, but they didn't get like as much focus as Dixie, Diddy and Chunky did, which I love Chunky. It was interesting that they chose him over because like it was the DK Country crew.
Yeah.
Plus Chunky. Maybe they should have replaced him with Kid.
Yeah, probably. But hey,
Chunky's
Swanky
definitely
Kong
a lot more
was
recognizable.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, after seeing the movie, I had mentioned that I imagine that they picked those three because they're the first two, Dixie and Diddy, are super iconic because they were at the beginning of the Country series, and they've also made a return in Tropical Freeze. And then I think they chose Chunky specifically because he was their Nintendo 64 Donkey Kong reference or character.
Yeah. And I think I saw Lanky Kong for a very brief moment.
Yeah. And I think I saw someone mention that Swanky Kong was also in there from Donkey Kong Country 3. So, like, I'm sure there's, like, a whole list of all of the Kongs that people have seen.
I did enjoy that the go-karts come from the Kong.
I hope that that's, like, fully canon in the kart series. Like, they're all just made by the Kongs.
It would explain why the Kongs are in the Mario Kart games and have been ever since the beginning, whereas most of the rest of the Nintendo properties have not been.
True. Though, I mean, Donkey Kong's always been a part of Mario ever since Jumpman and Donkey Kong, so I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it also makes sense because, like, Diddy Kong Racing, Diddy Kong had his own racing game.
True.
And they also were planning a Donkey Kong Racing that eventually got canned.
Yeah, you're absolutely right on that. So I guess it's just been a piece of secret lore from the beginning that the Kongs made all the carts. So,
and they do have Funky Kong, who you would imagine would be a gearhead. So,
yeah. Oh, the movie was so fun. And it was cool seeing them do Rainbow Road. I thought that the Mario Kart sequence on Rainbow Road was actually really fun. Especially with all of the Koopas that like got turned into items, like the green shells were just going around the track. I don't know why they had to make the one like captain character in Bowser's army, the blue shell guy, be so incredibly hostile and want to like kill everybody just so he could sacrifice himself as a blue shell item.
Well, so, I think they did that because like in the games, we have not gotten a blue shell Koopa. So like we don't have a canonical like source for the blue shell yet. And so
good point.
They kind of gave it to us here.
Except for, I guess, some of those like spiky blue shelled Koopas in Paper Mario, but that doesn't really count, right?
Right. And so like, of course, they had to like if they went through all the trouble of kind of adding this subspecies of Koopa into the Mario canon, directly tying it to like where it comes from and like what role they have in the Mario universe.
Yeah. Yeah. It was still really fun. And I loved all of the different carts that they made. Of course, Mario had his classic Mario Kart 8 version of his regular cart. Peach was riding a motorcycle because they needed to represent the motorcycle players in Mario Kart. And then Toad's cart was so funny. Just the gigantic machine. That made me laugh pretty good. But yeah, I thought that was a really fun sequence either way.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fun. Overall, I would say, like I said, it was oddly all the discourse online is correct on both sides, which just feels weird to say because like they seem like they're contradicting each other. But no, it is a film that has no story to it. It would be nice if there was story, but I don't know if you can get that kind of story in a Mario film. And like it was just an entertaining but vapid experience.
Yeah. I mean, I completely agree with you. I, too, agree with both sides on this point. a big part of me really loves good storytelling. So it would have been wonderful to see them do something more interesting. But when they tried that with the 1993 Mario Brothers movie, it just completely fell apart. So I'll gladly take this reference Easter egg Mario music medley fun adventure over whatever the heck that was in the 90s.
Yeah, I would give this a 7 out of 10, which was nowhere near as low as I was expecting to give it.
Yeah, I think that that's totally fair from you. Mine's probably more around an 8 to 10, but only because the music just like launches it up so high for me. They were so good and faithful, and the arrangements were incredible that I only really needed the soundtrack, and the movie would have been perfect for me anyway. Well, not perfect, of course, because it's an 8 out of 10.
There's only really one thing that I feel like they really missed out on. Where was my Waluigi?
Ah, why? Where was he? Did you see any of those like TikToks of people in the movie theaters dressed up as Wario and Waluigi?
No.
They were so funny. They were like, so many people, so many different groups of people had this same video idea. They're sitting there, the credits are rolling at the end, and it's just Wario and Waluigi sitting in like the luxury chairs, and they like turn to each other like, wah, why weren't we in the movie? Then there were some other ones of like some people that are very big fans of Waluigi like crying their eyes out because my favorite character wasn't in the movie. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, I feel like for sequel bait, they would have done a much better job than what they eventually did for the end credits.
Yeah, why did the end credits just show a Yoshi egg when we literally saw them on Yoshi Island as part of the adventure sequence? Like, the Yoshis weren't new. Like, yeah. Come on.
Yeah, they kind of already like they kind of already spent a Yoshi's experience or reveal or whatever, but. So all we know is that there will be a sequel eventually and Yoshi will be part of it. That doesn't really give us much to work off of as opposed to something like if like we just got a wah.
Yeah,
that's all. Just have like a wah echoing through the sewers.
Wah.
Yeah.
That'd be perfect. But anyway, we'll have to see where Nintendo goes with this whole cinematic thing. They were kind of hush hush right around the premiere of if they were going to make any other projects or whatnot. But as far as I can tell in a more recent interview, it seems like they are very open to additional projects. And that with the Yoshi egg and a lot of the other rumors we've heard circulating around, I think they're probably already in development.
Yeah, especially since Nintendo bought that animation studio not too long ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Which will be interesting because there's not like a consistent tone across Nintendo properties. It would be very weird to get a Zelda or Metroid movie with kind of like the Illumination style to it.
I think they should give Zelda to DreamWorks and have them create it in the animation style of Puss in Boots. I think that would be perfect for Zelda and would work really well.
So what parent company does DreamWorks typically work off of? Because Illumination is Universal, right?
Yeah.
I think Nintendo's working pretty closely with Universal with these projects because of like the theme parks and all that.
Well, DreamWorks is also a subsidiary of Universal.
Okay. Is Illumination?
So Illumination is co-owned by Universal Studios or Universal Pictures and is a division of Comcast.
Okay. Well, so there's at least that connection with Universal.
Yes. They're both basically owned. So Illumination is owned by Universal. Are co-owned by Universal, and DreamWorks is a subsidiary of Universal.
Okay. So as long as there's not like internal politics, that could be something that they could go down, have DreamWorks make a Zelda, have DreamWorks work with the kind of the more mature properties, I guess, the less silly ones, I guess, would be the correct thing to say.
Yeah.
Have Illumination focus more on like Mario and Kirby and Donkey Kong, and then have DreamWorks do Metroid and Zelda and Star Fox.
I think that would work really well, but who knows what the dynamics are. So, and we'll just have to wait and see what ends up happening. I really hope this means that Nintendo is more open about handing off their properties. Well, not handing off, but allowing a lot of their properties and IPs to expand into other medium. You know, back in the 80s and 90s, we had all sorts of TV shows about Mario and Zelda and Donkey Kong and whatnot. And it's just been so empty in that space for like the last like 20 or so years. And I really hope that the success of the Mario movie is a sign to Nintendo. You know, we as fans are like, yes, please give us like anime of Zelda or Metroid. We'd love to see that kind of stuff. But hopefully it's a sign to Nintendo that they can expand into those mediums even further, because we love their IPs and we think that they work really well as storytelling mediums beyond video games.
Yeah. This is the first time I felt optimistic about Nintendo movies going forward.
Yeah. I think that's a great way to put it. I don't know. Is there anything else to really bring up here?
I think I'm good.
All right. All in all, I think that the Mario movie was a success for us anyway. You know, we both thought it was a very, very, very fun time. And we hope to see more from Nintendo. Is that a fair enough summary of everything we've said?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it.
Cool. Well, I guess with all that said, I will just wrap up. Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Nintendo Fusion Podcast. We hope you've enjoyed listening to our review of the Super Mario Brothers movie. If you want to talk about the movie with us or other Nintendo things, come hop by our Discord server. You can reach that by the link in the description or by going to nintendofusion.com/discord. And then, as we mentioned, we will be definitely talking about Tears of the Kingdom next week. So please look forward to that. Subscribe and follow the podcast if you haven't already so that you are ready for when that episode drops. We're planning on making it a fairly big one with lots and lots and lots of pieces from all sorts of footage and trailers from Tears of the Kingdom so we can really talk about our expectations for the game when it launches in a month. Isn't that right? Is that what we decided?
Yep.
Cool. Anyway, with all that said, please be sure to also leave us a like and comment. And I guess we'll just go ahead and end it there. Thanks again for listening to the Nintendo Fusion Podcast, and we'll catch you on the next one. Bye-bye.
See ya.